Again, bid you welcome, express appreciation for your being here, and we say it so often, but we say it sincerely. This is good. It's good to get together. There is an outline on the in the back of the bulletin if you'd like to follow along. The lesson comes from the text that was read to us. I titled it The Challenge of Christ. Read on verse 21, where it says, "For even hereunto you were called or challenged, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example." Leaving us an example. There's something that we need to model or copy or do what he did. It says that we should follow his steps. Follow his step. I know someone said that, "Brian, life itself is a challenge, and now you're adding the challenge of Christ." Kind of like I'm going to increase your burden. Then I heard somebody else say too, "Brian, I'm doing yesterday's work, so by tomorrow I should be ready for today." Sometimes I feel that way too. Yeah, by tomorrow I should be ready for today. But my challenge is to cover this long outline in 20 minutes. Your challenge is to believe that I can do it. But we'll give it our best shot. This lesson is going to present the Christian life as a challenge, but Jesus is the standard. I'm not the standard. If you follow me, you'll be disappointed. That will always measure up, same as you. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, "Follow me." But then he added, "As I follow Christ." So yes, follow me. But follow me when I follow Christ. He's the standard. He's the example for us. So I've looked at this lesson in several ways. I looked at the life of Jesus. And here's the challenge. It's interesting because it's a challenge that's going to determine eternity. It's a costly challenge, but it's going to cost you more if you miss the challenge. So the challenge of Christ. And you know, if something is challenging, it's going to demand our best effort. We're going to have to put some gusto into it. It's challenging. That's right, but we want to measure up to the standard that's been set before us. And the lesson this morning is the challenge of Christ. So number one, the challenge is for us to live as Christ lived. He lived for others. In Luke 19, verse 10, Jesus said, "The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost." That's our challenge. We want to present a good news, a gospel message to those who are lost. Jesus said in Matthew 20, verse 28, "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister." So our challenge is to look out for others, to think about the needs that are involved in another's life. So we want to develop an attitude of, how can I help you? What do you need? Let me get that. Call me. And we stand at the ready. The challenge of Christ is for us to live as he lived. He lived to do the Father's will. Jesus himself said in John chapter 6, verse 38, "I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but to do the will of him that sent me." That's a challenge for us. I want to do the will of the Father. God, what would you have me do? I want to present myself before God in the sense of say, here am I. If you speak, I'm going to listen. If you send, I'll go. If you command, I'll obey. I want to live as Christ lived. Do the will of the Father. Jesus said when he was in the garden before the crucifixion, in Luke 22, verse 42, he prayed, he said, "But not my will. God, deliver me, but not my will. Thine be done." I want us to live as Christ lived. A life that looks out for the needs of others and to do the Father's will. Number two is to grow as Christ grew. And put this in your notes in Luke chapter 2, verse 52. Jesus increased in wisdom, knowledge, increased in stature, grew physically, and in favor with God, his Father, so there was a spiritual growth, and man, so he grew socially. He increased in wisdom, stature, and in favor with God and man. I want to grow as he grew. That's the challenge. I mean, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Direct the commandment or the obligation is given to us. Grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, when you grow something, you have to nurture it. Feed it. Take care. Same thing, if we're going to grow in grace and grow in knowledge, you have to take care of yourself. Devote yourself, develop, have an interest in knowledge and the grace of God. Grow in those areas. So we provide a Bible class. We provide the worship assembly, friendship, fellowship, work opportunities. Things that will help us grow, not only in, you know, in grace, but in knowledge. Grow. It's going to take some nurture and some effort. Number three is to think as Christ thought. I put in your notes, that's a huge challenge. Isaiah, the Old Testament prophet, said in Isaiah 55, verse 8, "My thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord." In other words, we don't think alike all the time. And we don't always go the same way as God would have us. So he says, God, through the prophet, says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. And then he gives an illustration. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, well, I think that's a big gap. Or so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. But the Apostle Paul said to the brethren in the church in Philippi, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So there's the challenge. Even though God and I don't think alike, we don't do things alike, that's a huge difference. But the challenge is, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I want to think the way God thinks. That's important. The wise man Solomon said in Proverbs 23, verse 7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So I want that mind of Christ to be in me. And I want to think the way God thinks. Because the way that I think is the way I'm going to go. Jesus did the right thing because he thought right. When I grew up back in Muskegon, Michigan, at a kitchen table that had a kitchen window right there looked out into a grassy area of our yard. My dad sat right there, and then I sat here, my brother Randall sat there, my brother Rod over there, and my mom over there. And every once in a while, Dad would kind of get up and he'd look out the window. He said, Brian, I think the grass needs mowing. One time, I only did this once. I looked up and looked out there and said, Dad, I see that same grass, but I don't think it needs mowing. And Dad said, Brian, I see the grass needs mowing, or I think the grass needs mowing. He wanted me to see and think the same way he did. He didn't say, Brian, go mow the grass. He says, I think it needs mowing, or I see that it needs mowing. When God says, I see sin a certain way, he wants us to see sin the same way. Or God said, I think this is best for you. He wants us to think that same way. That's the way Jesus thought. and that's the challenge. We don't always want to see things the way God does. We want to see things the way we think best. And that's not the challenge. So number four is to obey as Christ obeyed. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8, it says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience. Learned obedience. And having been made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all that obey him. Jesus had to learn obedience, and I need to learn obedience too. I need to be taught, God, what would you have me do? Where would you have me go? How would you have me think? How would you have me worship? God, I want to obey the way you would have me to. Because our thoughts, we don't think alike. So when God reveals his message to me, that's the challenge. I need to submit to that. Remember, Jesus lived to do the Father's will. Not my will, but thine be done, he said. That's a challenge. Jesus said for us in Luke chapter 6, verse 46, why do you call me Lord? And don't do the things I say. Oh, that's the challenge. If I'm going to call you Lord, I need to do what you say. You're Lord. Gives the warning Jesus does in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. He said, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. You see, the challenge is I need to do the will of the Father. I need to live as Christ lived. I need to obey as Christ obeyed. I need to think as Christ thought. I need to grow as Christ grew. It's a challenge. Number five is to love as Christ loved. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says, God commends his own love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In John 13, verse 12, Jesus said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you. The challenge. Yeah. Jesus, do you love me? Yeah. He says, I want you to love one another as I've loved you. I remember years ago, I saw a bumper sticker in the back of a car. It said, honk if you love Jesus. I didn't honk. But I thought, that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said in John 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. He didn't say, if you love me, honk. Honk, honk. He didn't say that. Jesus and God didn't look down from heaven and say, I love you guys, you know, honk, honk. That proves my love for you. I honk twice at you guys. No. Jesus said in John chapter 13, verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, even as I've loved you. That you love one another, and by this shall all men know that you're my disciples. So our discipleship will be known by others, not if we honk, but by the love that we have for one another. And love always displays itself. It's not just a shout out. It's a demonstration. Love is not just audible, it's visible. Love is that which seeks the best in someone else. And that's what Jesus did for us. He sought the best for us by giving his life. I need to seek the best for others, to love as Jesus loved, and be and not just say, I love you, but let me show you. And against that attitude of, let me get that for you. What can I do for you? I stand at the ready call. Love as Jesus loved. Number six is to forgive as Jesus forgave. It's in Colossians 3, verse 13. Even as, here's the example. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Oh, Jesus, did you really forgive me? And I've heard people say to me, Brian, my sins, and I'll put it in three areas, my sins are too many. My sins are too horrible. And I've committed these sins for too long a time. I don't think God can forgive me. Oh, yes, He can. Even if your sins are too many, too horrible, and committed over too long a time, God is willing, ready, and able to forgive. Even as Christ forgave you, forgive one another. To those who come to God, God's way, forgiveness is promised. And God cannot lie, the Bible says. That's the challenge. I need to forgive others. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 6, verse 14. If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. Just as Christ forgives us, I need to forgive you. That determines my relationship with God. How can I say, God, forgive me, if I don't forgive others, one another? That's the challenge of Christ. He's forgiven my sins that are too many, too horrible, and committed for too long a time. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Number 7 is to endure as Christ endured. So in Hebrews chapter 1, I begin at verse 1. It says, let's run with patience the race that is set before us, or the challenge of Christian living. Let's run the Christian race. And then it says, looking to Jesus. Remember, He's the standard. Look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross. And then in verse 3, He challenges us, consider Him that endured. Somehow you might think, oh, Christianity is too much. It's too hard. No, consider Him that endured. You think about everything that Christ had to endure. Peter's denial. Sometimes brethren forsook Him. There were the religious leaders that wanted to kill Him. But He endures. He held fast in His journey to the cross, dying for you and for me. Consider what Jesus went through for our salvation. He endured. In Hebrews 6, verse 15, says Abraham patiently endured and obtained the promise. In Hebrews 11, verse 27, concerning Moses, it said, he endured seeing him who is invisible. The Apostle Paul endured in 2 Timothy 2, verse 10. He says, therefore I endure all things. James in James 5, verse 11 says, behold, we count them happy which endure. You see, there's certain things that we're going to have to endure. And I mentioned that when we think about a challenge, it's going to take some effort. It's going to demand something from us. It's a challenge. And we can do it. You want to consider those who went before us, who successfully accomplished the task, and say, oh, if they can do it, I can too. I can. So don't give up. Don't quit. Don't bail out. Don't forsake Christ. That's the challenge. Number 8 is to overcome as Christ overcame. It's in John chapter 16, verse 33. Jesus said, in the world you have tribulation. Boy, that's the truth. Jesus didn't sugarcoat something. He said, no, you disciples, in the world you'll have tribulation. There'll be some hardship. Be some difficulty. There'll be trials that we have to go through. Those aren't eliminated just because I follow Jesus that, oh, the smooth road now. In the world, and that's where we are, we're going to have tribulation. But then Jesus finishes it, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Well, I want to stand on His side. I want to yoke my life up with His, because He overcame the world. Jesus, did you endure? Yeah. Did you grow? Yeah. Did you think right? I sure did. Did you live right? Yes, I sure did. Did you overcome? I sure did. I'm with you. I'm with you. I want all those things to happen to me. He overcame. And the Bible says in Revelation 3:21, to him that overcomes, I'll grant to sit, Jesus said, sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame. So one theme in Revelation, I put that in your notes, to him that overcomes, you can come over. Come over. Overcome. Come on over. Come over. That's the challenge. Overcome all these troubles, all the temptations. Stay on his side. The last one, along that same line, to finish our work as he finished his. In John chapter 19, verse 30, one of the seven words from the cross, Jesus said, it's finished. It's finished. Not just his life. That plan of salvation. That ability for God to forgive us our sins through him. Jesus was the acceptable sacrifice to God. It's finished. Mission accomplished. So we sing a song. He paid a debt that he didn't owe. And I owed a debt that I couldn't pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song. Amazing grace. Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. He finished his work, and I need to finish mine. You need to finish yours. That's what Paul said in 2 Timothy 4, verse 6. He said, I'm now ready to be offered, or the time of my departure is at hand. In other words, I've reached the end of my life, my physical existence. So he said, I fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day, not to me only, but to all those who love his appearing. See, there's something good and gracious that's waiting for us when we finish the course, when we meet the challenge. Did I finish in 20 minutes? Did I meet the challenge? You have the notes. They're there for your review. You can think about them over and over again, if you would. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement. They use the words a song of invitation or a song of exhortation. I urge you to get on the side of Christ if you have not done so already. Jesus' last words after his resurrection, he was on this earth for 40 more days. And then he was going to ascend back to the Father. But before he ascended back to the Father, he said in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. So he tells his disciples, go ye therefore, make disciples of all the nations. And he tells them how to do that, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. The Gospel of Mark records it in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not will be condemned. So as a good news message we extend at the close of every lesson, if you've not surrendered yourself to that invitation, you have that opportunity. We're going to sing this song of encouragement, song of exhortation or invitation. It's an opportunity for you to fulfill that desire or that resolve in your life to be baptized for remission of sins. So let's stand together, and Ron, make your way to the front here. Sing the song Ron suggested for a song of encouragement, a song of invitation, number 945. If that's your desire, if that's your response, simply let it be known at the close of this song.